I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And it's always fun to welcome someone to the studio who's never been here before. And today, that is Tony Rocks. Welcome, Tony.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming in today.
Well, that's good.
So were you given the name Rocks at birth? Is
no.
that really your last
no,
name? Okay, I just
not.
Had to check. Because it's pretty cool for a performer.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it just worked out with the website. It started off as Tony.
Mm-hmm. And that's T-O-N-E-Y for people that are listening at home.
And then I would be on stage and I would be like, okay, so I'm Tony and it's just Tony. So then people would call me just Tony. And I was like, okay.
Oh, okay.
So then I got a website and I didn't want it to be Tony, my last name. I didn't want it to be Tony Music. That's kind of corny.
Mm-hmm.
So I put in Tony Rock because I was doing a lot. I was way more like rock blues rock. And then that didn't work because that's Chris Rock's brother, who's a comedian. Mm-hmm. Much, much more known than I. I've got the life sued out of me. Actually, he probably would have just laughed. So I added an S out of frustration, and it worked, so I kept it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can just call you Tony then, basically.
Well,
or now
you
now,
can call me Tony.
Okay.
But I wouldn't introduce myself as Tony because I want people to find me.
Okay, great. Well, and it has a great ring to it, so I think it was a good choice. So Tony is in town to do a show tonight at Wusso's Concert Cafe in Duluth. And what time does that show start? I meant to pull that up, and let's see. Well, we will have that information.
I'm guessing 7.
Yeah, I'll check that out for sure while you are performing a song here.
There's a local opener. I couldn't tell you.
I will look all of that up. I'll do my job that I should have done before the session during the song. Thank you so much, Tony. What do you want to get started with here?
Well, I'm going to play a song off the latest EP album-ish. That whole album's called Drifting. And this is a song called Run to the Night. And I guess I'll play it.
Sunshine never been her friend, with a smile out of sight. Only the lucky eyes will see her dancing in the moonlight. She gotta run to the night. Left Austin at 17, vows never go back. He stole her innocence. Well, oh, she won't forget that. She gotta run to the night, where it feels alright. Well, she's running. She can find a place, yeah. The moonlight never felt so great in the still of the night. Her new life was worth the wait, hanging on with all her might. She got to run to the night, where it feels all right.
That's Tony Rocks live from Studio A. And I got my details down, so that show is tonight at Wusos Concert Cafe. Chris Kelly of, you might remember the band Gallus, opening, and show does start at 7 o'clock. Got all the details there. Well, that was really nice. So, and did you say that was, so you have, your most recent thing that you've released is actually a live EP, right?
Okay, so that hasn't released yet. That's going to release in October.
Oh,
and I released a video. A single to lead into that, and that's a live version of Driftin', which is also on the current release that's out.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. So you probably got what's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little confusing when you're a radio person because you get things early, so you don't always know when the public actually gets them. Mm-hmm. Well, first I want to back up a little bit because this is your first visit to the studio, so we usually like to do the getting to know you conversation. And where are you from originally, and where you, how you got started in music and all that stuff?
Oh, I'm from Virginia. My mother is a vocalist, and she was in club bands when I was a kid. So I grew up around that, and I started playing drums. My uncle was in that band with my mom playing drums. So I remember the moment I was sitting at sound check at a club, and I remember looking at each instrument and going, okay, so what do I want to do? And it was less about the instruments and more about the people playing them. And the guy playing keyboards was kind of a creep. And you know, he was weird. I don't know. If this was a podcast, I could tell you a lot of the stories. but yeah, he was weird. So I was like, nah, I don't want to play keyboards because I don't want to be weird like that guy. Maurice, I really liked him. He played bass. But my Uncle Al, he was behind this big, massive, like eight-piece kit with 12 cymbals, double bass drum. I thought that was pretty awesome. So that's what I went for.
So you started with drums?
Drums. I did. I played drums. All of my life, from age 5 till about, I don't know, less than 5 years ago, I was doing sessions for artists, studio sessions.
But they're not quite as portable as a guitar, and harder to do solo.
Yeah, and that's what happened. I was in this blues band, and you know, looking back, I look back on that time fondly. But when I was in it, I was like I was in that band for 8 years. So I went from early 20s, just starting to drink. I think I was like 21. And then I ended out 8 years later, and it just had totally ripped every bit of enthusiasm about playing drums. But I knew I really didn't want to do, and I hadn't cultivated any other skills in my whole life. So I was just like, okay, so if I play guitar, I can do that by myself. So I said I'd learn how to play guitar, and when I could sing enough songs to do 4 hours back then, I was doing bars and covers and stuff. And I just did that. As soon as I could fake my way through about 3 hours, I knew I could take longer breaks and embellish some songs. Yeah, I did that, and I started playing, you know, little joints around Delaware. I was in Delaware at that point. And then I quickly knew I didn't want to do that forever. Because I come up on, so the band I was in playing drums, this guy was a original act, but he had been doing it so long that he had become a cover of himself.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah, and I was like, this is whack. I don't know. Oh, somebody jumped out at me. I could have probably died. What if that could have shocked me?
Oh, no.
That would have been so
don't
cool.
Die, Tony.
That would have been so rock and roll.
We have never had that happen during the session, and I'm fine with that.
So that's what happened. That's what got me to guitar and singing songs. And then I started just the process of going, okay, where do I want to be? Not here. And how do I get to where I want to be? And that was writing songs. And I started doing that and wrote a bunch of crappy songs and released them. And some people liked them enough to encourage me to write more crappy songs. And I'm here today writing hopefully less crappy songs.
Well, I like that you say that because honestly, almost everybody writes crappy songs when they first start and get better. And that's the only way to do it. But sometimes being afraid that's all you'll ever do sometimes stops people from keeping trying, you know, like how are you going to get better at something if you don't keep doing it?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is judgment. Mm-hmm. Like they're more worried about what people are going to say and what people are going to think. Whereas I can't remember who said it. It was some pop star. I like binge on interviews and docs on, you know, artists. And it was just pretty much that, I don't know where the heck I was going with that. But, yeah, worried about what people are going to think. And it kind of stops some people from actually creating. Me, I think that this artist, whoever it was, they were saying that they grew up in front of people. Matter of fact, I think it was the Foo Fighters. And Dave Grohl was saying that they went through all of their growing pains as a known band, because he had come out of Nirvana and he was Dave Grohl. So they went through, you know, member change after member change after member change in the public eye. And I feel like I've been doing that as a writer, obviously not on that level, but I write and it feels good in the moment and I put it out. I get on stage and I play it. And I think because it's authentic at the time, whoever's there either likes it enough to give me encouragement or they dislike it to the point where I don't really hear about it, you know. But I remember times where I was playing in I don't know where I was, East Washington, and I was playing this gig. It was a super small place, and I was probably about halfway through the set, and I stopped. I was probably in a quiet part of the song, and I heard these two women, I heard this lady whisper to the lady she was with. She said, "Oh, he's really good, but all the songs sound the same." I was like, oh, God, I just want
to. Ouch.
Yeah. So after that, I was just like, I think I stopped playing again. I went back to bare minimum. I was like, okay, whatever, the best songs I can do that sound completely different to fill up as much time as I can, and I'll just BS the rest of the show just to make the times, you know. And I did. It's just growing. Mm-hmm. But I grew up in music. I grew up performing. I don't know how to sit in a room for months and months and months and work on stuff until I feel like it's ready. As soon as I get it to the point where I can remember the words and get through the song with my fingers so that nobody knows that I just wrote it, it's on stage.
Oh, okay. So yeah. You kind of work things out
absolutely
on stage.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm like a
cool
comic. I'm like a comic.
Mm-hmm. Working out that material.
Yeah. Because you don't know. Sometimes I feel great about a song. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of songs I feel absolutely amazing about. And then you put them in front of people and they're just like, and it's like, okay, I'll try it again tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. You do it for about a week, and it's like, all right, that song sucks. Yeah, it's not working.
So did it help having your family members that were also musicians, or did that make it more intimidating to do it because you knew that they might have something to say about what you were doing?
I think as an artist, it made it harder. Okay, so I grew up in a very musical family. My stepdad is retiring this year as a band director since 98 or 99. And before that, he was in the army band for 30 years. Again, my mom was singing in clubs. And then when she got out of clubs, she started singing gospel in churches and some jazz with my dad and little combos. So, and my mom teaches vocal lessons. And now she's the leader of the praise and worship team. She's an amazing singer. But my parents are not artists. My parents are musicians, and it's a very, it can be a blurred line, but on the poles it's very different, you know? So the technical aspect of it, my family was quite encouraging. They tell me when it wasn't quite there, but when it started to get in there technically, I started to sound better and play better. They were very, you know, supportive. But as far as like artistically, the stuff that I write about, the depths, yeah, I don't, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Because my family is rather conservative.
Mm-hmm.
To be musicians. They're quite conservative. But because I grew up playing music that was prepared for you to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went just recently, I'd say within the last 2 to 3 years, I've gone like seriously, like I'm not writing I'm not writing a theme. I'm not writing to keep up a persona or to stay in blues or to stay in folk. I could care less. I'm writing what feels like it needs to come out of me in the most raw, guttural, yet refined way possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Like, I love raw songwriters. Jackson Browne, to me, is a raw songwriter. Mm-hmm. Who is not a raw songwriter? Somebody like John Mayer. He's an amazing songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
But he can use metaphors and take you on these rides through the lyrics that I don't think I have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Keb Moe, he's amazing. That mm-hmm. man can sit here. He can write a song out of our conversation. and it's a hit. So that's what I like. But I don't think I write that simple. So I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. You know, I code some things,
mm-hmm.
you know. But a song like Run to the Night, I tried to paint that picture of what I saw
mm-hmm.
from those women that I surmised into one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I try to, when I write, I try to see the picture. I try to feel it. And then I try to live in that on stage, and hopefully somebody's making a picture of their own. It won't be the same pictures in my head, mm-hmm. but yeah, I'm just trying to get deep. I'm just trying to get deep, mm-hmm. deep and honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Yeah. That's a great.
Honesty is dangerous.
It can be, yeah. But that's a great place to be if you want to be an artist.
Yeah.
Let's hear another tune. What do you want to play Ooh. Next for us?
Speaking of honesty. I'm going to play a song called Demons. This is not coming up on the live release. I'll play one off of that in a bit. But this one is coming up on a record I'm going to record in the late winter in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then it'll be out sometime mid next year. It depends on how we want to do it. But this is called Demons.
You don't know.
Tony Rocks, live from Studio A with Demons. And did you say that was is that a new one?
Yeah, that's a new one that hasn't been recorded.
Okay.
I've been playing it now for I've been playing it for about a year now.
Okay.
Yeah, I went through this massive breakup back in actually August last year. So it's been about a little over a year.
Because you were living in Las Vegas and you'd gone there for love.
Yeah.
And that did not work out. So now you're on the road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I do.
And you recorded your album in Las Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drifting.
Yeah.
So tell me, and I think I was reading that you've produced a lot of your own albums or recorded a lot of your own albums before that, but you worked with somebody else on this one. Am I right about that?
Uh-huh. That's right. Okay. So before that, I have probably maybe three albums out before that, and they were two of them. Let me get this right. Yeah, two of them were more in kind of the progressive blues range. And then Not Gonna Run was more Americana, still some blues. At that point, I had made a distinct decision that I didn't want to be in blues holistically, you know, because the ceiling on that solo, in my eyes. So
you mean by that, do you mean like the opportunities for
absolutely.
It? Okay,
yeah,
got
it. Yeah, I mean, how many blues songs can you write,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then how many opportunities can you get from that? Like, even who's the biggest blues act now? Probably Gary Clark Jr. And he's taking a hard right or hard left, whichever way pop is for him.
Mm-hmm.
This latest album for him is more pop.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So I made that decision. But to answer your question, I recorded that album in the studio by myself. To a fault, I mixed it by myself. And then I had a buddy of mine who owned the studio master it.
Mm, okay.
But at that time, that's how I had to work. I didn't have the money, and I wanted lockout ability on the studio, and that was the greatest thing ever. I could stand to go back and have that album remixed, maybe redo some vocals if I wanted to, something like that. But the experience of being in the lab and doing it. And by myself, but not to say that I didn't have help, but just to go, I was with myself, exploring myself, and I had no one else's input.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I came up with, that's what I came up with. That was the truest statement I can make at the moment. After that, even during that process, I knew that, okay, but I can't do this again. I have to, if I want to be a top artist, you know, I have to work with the best people that I have access to. I have to work with people that are great at what they do and can enhance what I did, not just get it to a point where it's releasable. So that's moving to Vegas facilitated that because it felt like I was in a entertainment. Well, I was in an entertainment city, so I felt better. I felt more confident. I felt more professional going into Tone Factory with Vinny Castaldo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. I trusted him, and he was very honest. Very, 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 very honest. If the vocal wasn't right, if the feel wasn't right, he'd stop. Hey, man, let's try it again. And that's what I always want to surround myself by.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened with Drifting. But before that, yeah, I had a good time in the studio crafting mm-hmm. stuff. And,
but you still did all the instruments on Drifting, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you still were like, it was you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was. And, you know,
with extra feedback.
Exactly. And I feel like Vinny produced it, you know, because he helped shape a sound. He mm-hmm. helped capture and shape that sound. But yeah, Drifting is still on me. And that's very, it's solo. Run to the Night was a full band. And the live session, Red Planet session that's going to be releasing in October, that's what my band, The Rejects, means. Pedal Steel.
And there's a Pedal Steel in that band, which I have a soft spot for. A Pedal Steel sounds great on there. It's always.
Did you hear Did you hear anything from that?
I did. Yeah, because I got a little press kit.
Okay, cool.
From
look at those
from
professionals.
From your people.
Yeah, my people contacted your people.
They did.
Yeah, a good Pedal Steel is there's nothing like it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it can be hard to, like, those people are in demand. I feel.
Oh yeah,
like.
Yeah. Especially now because Americana and alt country is really blowing up. You know, indie wise, it's really cool. So
mm-hmm.
They're hard to come by, but we have quite a few. A few more than you'd think.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cool.
Yeah. Well, we have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with here?
I'll play one. That's on the live CD that's coming out in October. And this is also going to be on the new, on the full-length album coming out next year. And it's another song that, again, like I said, I write stuff, and as soon as I can get it on stage, I do, because that's really my haven. And then I decide whether it's going to make an album, but it just so happened that I open up every show with this song, so it was super comfortable, and I was like, okay, well, let's play it in a session, and we did. So it's going to be a live version, and then it's going to be a studio version, and then y'all going to have this version. It's going to be so many versions.
And it has an ironic name for a song that you use to open your show.
Yeah, that's bizarre. It's going to be Goodbye. Thank you.
That is Tony Rocks live from Studio A, and a tune from his forthcoming new live EP. Out in October, you said?
Yep. October 16th, I believe.
Okay. And cool. If people want to know more about you, they can go to your website, which is Tony, T-O-N-E-Y, rocks.com.
Yep. And right? I'm also all over social, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. But, you know, going to the website, that's a good starting place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, you are playing tonight at Wusso's Concert Cafe in West Duluth. Chris Kelly is opening, and that starts at 7.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
And your first time in Duluth, so your first time playing a show here. So
yeah, it's cool. Yeah. I've done Minneapolis, but the first time in Duluth, so it's real cool. I've heard so much about the Minnesota scene, folk scene, and people like Charlie Parr and... of course, Prince, but he's not necessarily folk. It's such a rich community, so it's good to be out here and getting a taste of it.
Yeah.
Definitely coming back, hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, well, welcome. I'm glad to have you here. Thanks so much, Tony.
Thanks for having me.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Peyton Johnson and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.